for this afternoon. Let's turn and read together from the second epistle of Peter, chapter number 3. 2 Peter, chapter number 3.
Čitaće se iz Svete reči Gospodnje iz druge poslanice Petrove, glava 3. Petrova poslanica, druga glava 3.
This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do other also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Appreciated the first song that we sang this afternoon as we opened the service. The last verse says, Come and dwell within us, even as we tarry. Make of us thy sanctuary. We're asking that the God would dwell within us, that he would make of us thy sanctuary. Come, thou holy being, show in us thy brightness, till we love thee in uprightness. Everywhere, O prepare, hearts that would adore thee, living only for thee. And I believe it's a desire that each and every one of us would have, and we would encourage each other to that, is that our hearts would adore him and live only for him. That in everything of our lives, everything, God is always first. God is always first. Above ourself, above our relationships, above our possessions, above our aspirations, that God would be first. He would be first, and that we would live only for him, and that he would provide all things then subsequent to our giving of our hearts to him first. And that's a beautiful way to live. And again, I believe it's an aspiration of all of ours that God would be first, living only for him, and that we would encourage each other to that end, that we would put God first in our lives. We have before us a scripture this afternoon where the Apostle Peter, who again has experienced many things in his lifetime, here he writes his final epistle, and he's writing his final words to the believers that are scattered throughout throughout the world, and he's bringing forth a message here, and he's perhaps even with earnestness as he's bringing out this message, knowing that it would be his last words that he could impart unto the believers that were scattered. And so as we go through this chapter and speak of the things that are written here, perhaps we can begin with the very last verse where it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ." This is what we want for our spiritual lives and for how we would live this life, is that we would grow in grace, in the grace of God, in experiencing his favor, experiencing his love, experiencing his compassion when we didn't deserve it, and experiencing all these things and then growing in that, and that as God has been gracious to me, I can certainly express grace to others as well. And to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We grow in his knowledge simply by reading of his words. There are many other things that we can read, commentaries and certainly many other perspectives, and very many philosophers who maybe have some good ideas, but here we are being exhorted by the Apostle Peter to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And again, that's simply through reading of his word, looking thereto for wisdom, looking at his word for truth, and being guided thereby, and growing in this time after time, throughout our experiences of life that we have. As we're going through different things, we're growing, and we grow in this knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, one who loved us so, one who is willing to give up his life that we might be redeemed and saved, one who showed compassion and mercy, one who brought the truth of his Father to each and every one of us. Blessed be the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the apostle here is beginning this chapter by saying that he wants to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Most of us here have grown up and we've gone through Sunday school and we've heard hundreds, if not thousands, of sermons and we've been in a church environment for a very, very long time. And we know scripture, we know verses, we know truths, and yet there's so much here that we can sometimes forget some things. And so here he's saying he wants to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, by a way of reminding us of the truths of God's word, and how his word would give us life, and how we would ought to walk and to please God in all things. And so he's writing to us in this way, that we would have our minds stirred up. Even as the visual that comes to me is honey within tea. As you stir it up, it dissolves into the tea. And we are being asked to be stirred up, that we would be dissolved in Jesus Christ, that our identity, our thoughts, our ways would simply dissipate and become conformed to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. There's going to be scoffers, and there they will be here, and there will always be, and there always has been, the battle between good and evil, the battle between Satan and God. There will be that battle, and there always has been. And so there are going to be scoffers in the latter days, and I'm reminded of Matthew 24 that speaks when Jesus was asked of when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of his return. He responds and he says to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be deceived. There will be scoffers. There will be those that say, there is no God. Jesus Christ was just a person." There will be scoffers in the last days. And so we're being reminded that for us to be mindful of the words which were spoken, that in the last days scoffers will come, and they'll be walking after their own lust. That will be very clear. And we see it in our society today, the emphasis on self. It's all about me. What's in it for me? And these will also be walking after their own lust and saying, "Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." And so there'll be these questions and these debates, and it is how can God be real? Everything is just continuing on year after year after year. There's no sign of anything that's about to change. All things are continuing as they were. But here the Apostle Peter is reminding us, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." We're being reminded that there was a day of reckoning. Evil on this earth grew so bad that God said enough. It repented him that he made man. And he said, "I'm going to destroy it, and I'll save 8 souls." And so it was that the earth was destroyed. There was a flood and all men perished. All men perished. And these people who are scoffers are willingly ignorant. They don't want to believe that. And God says that if there's a soul that according to his free will not believe, will not give himself over to believing in the one and true God, that God will give them over to a reprobate mind. They will be they will become foolish in their own thinking. God will give them over to that. And so that's the reason they are ignorant of the fact that God has already destroyed the evil that was in this world once already, and he did it by water. And then he made a promise. He said, God said that I will not destroy the world again by water. He would not do that again. But it says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So there will be a destruction of this earth and of mankind again. As it once was with water, it'll now be with fire. The Word of God says this. And again, we need to simply believe what the Bible says, that this will happen. There will come a time when, in God's good timing, when he deems it to be the appropriate time, fire will come, and it'll be in judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this thing, that that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God is from everlasting to everlasting, the Alpha and the Omega. There is nothing that binds God. Time binds us. Time is our enemy. But time means nothing to God. He created time. And with our small minds, we can't fully understand that, and we never will. Because everything that we know is time-bound. Everything has a beginning, everything has an end. There's a time in which it starts, and there's a time when it ends. Everything is time-bound. That's all we know. Our lives revolve around time. But with God, that's not so. God's not bound that way. God is far beyond time. So 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. That doesn't bind God. That's the powerful God that we serve. We can have admiration and glory to him just simply for that fact alone, that time doesn't bind God. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Again, when God makes a promise, there is a fulfillment of that. And he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is God's desire, that all would come to repentance, that we would all come to the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and that we would all be saved. This is God's desire. There is no time in heaven where there is rejoicing other than when a sinner repents. When a sinner repents, that's when the angels rejoice. God sent his Son that we might repent and be conformed to his Son and have life and believe in him, are baptized, and walk in newness of life. That's God's desire for all mankind, Jew and Gentile, whatever generation, it doesn't matter. God desires that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that's God's desire. And this is a definition of God, of who he is. His desire is that all should come to repentance. God has given us a free will. He's not going to force us to accept him. He's not going to force us to do good. He's not going to force us to believe in him. God gave us free will. But his desire is that we would take that free will and that we would follow after him and that we would come to repentance, a turning away from self and sin, turning away from all that, and we're now dead to that. And now we walk in newness of life. We walk according to the way that Jesus Christ walked and according to his image. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's a declaration. This has yet to happen, but it will happen. Just as God said, I'm going to destroy the world by water, and it came to pass, there is a declaration being made here that the earth will be burned up with a great noise and a fervent heat, and all the works that we see, they're all just going to be burned up. It's all going to come to nothing. When the Bible says great noise and fervent heat, I don't think we fully grasp the magnitude of that great noise and that fervent heat. It's said that when the atomic bombs went off over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that the light was so intense from that atomic bomb that shadows were etched into the concrete from the light that came from those bombs. That was the brilliancy and the magnitude of that light, of that atomic bomb. I believe much more than tenfold that when the Bible says a fervent heat and a great noise will be above that which that was experienced there in those cities in Japan. The Bible says these things. Do we doubt it? What's our life going to be like when these things happen? Are we going to be walking in the Lord? Will we be being faithful to him? What's our life going to be like at the point of time when the Lord returns as a thief in the night, and the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein is all going to be burned up. All that we work so hard for, all that we build in this life, all these things, gone. There's not even going to be a remnant of that. And when we keep these things in perspective, the things of this temporal life, they start to mean so little. And the emphasis always needs to be on that which is eternal. And so the Apostle Peter here continues and says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" So we know that everything that we see, it's all going to be gone. It's going to be burned up. It's going to pass away with a great noise and a fervent heat. It's all going to be gone. And so because we know these things, the Bible is saying our lives should be in holy conversation or holy conduct and godliness, representing God, doing what God would do, walking in the light of Jesus Christ, having a sobriety about ourselves, knowing that it's foolishness to be a partaker of the pleasures of this life, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. And so, again, the Apostle Peter, he knows that his time is short. He's now writing his last epistle, and he knows that his Lord has told him that he's going to go in the same manner, and history records that he was, except for he was upside down, crucified upside down. But he's saying here, but we should be looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord. And so always in life, we seem to always be forward-looking. We can't wait till the day we turn 16 so we can drive. We can't wait till the day we graduate from high school. We can't wait till we get a good job. We can't wait until retirement. We're always looking forward, and we want that day to come. But here the Bible is saying, we're looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the God. That's what we should be looking for. Because again, all these things on this earth will be burned up. It's all going to be gone one day. There's going to be nothing remnant. There's no remnant of it. Because as we read further on, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what we should be looking forward to. The day of the coming of the Lord. The day when we will be forever with the Lord. The day when that battle between good and evil is finally over. The day when we will no longer be tempted. We will no longer suffer the taunts of the evil one. The day we no longer have to hear scoffers saying, "Where is God?" We're looking forward to that time. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him, of him, in peace, without spot, and blameless." We're looking for these things. We're looking for that which is eternal. And so the Bible is saying here, so be diligent. Be diligent. And what diligence is defined as, I've mentioned this a couple times, but what diligence is defined as is painstaking effort. Painstaking effort. It's not that we give up at the first conflict that we come across, but we're continuing on with painstaking effort in following the Lord, in being grounded and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, looking to His Word always, so that we might be found of Him in peace. Again, the peace that we spoke about this morning. About when we have that belief in Jesus Christ, He imparts peace unto us. Peace be unto you. Jesus says, peace be unto you. And so as we are diligent in our walk of life, of serving the Lord, of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, we would be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Blameless. We think of blameless as a very high standard. Very high standard. But the Bible says that we can be blameless when we are not engaged in strife. That's what the Bible says. That's the way we can be blameless. "And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Jesus suffered for our sakes, and that suffering has brought about salvation." And then he speaks of the Apostle Paul, that he has written some things about the coming of the Lord and other things that he has written. And the Bible here says that just as you need to be careful against false prophets and scoffers and false teachers, that you need to that we know all these things before, and that as the Apostle Paul has written of these things, that they which are unlearned and unstable rest. That and rest is a verb which means to change the meaning of. And so there will be scoffers, there will be false teachers, there will be false prophets that will take the word of God, not only the epistles of Paul, as he writes here, but also other scriptures as well, to change the meaning thereof. And as they would do that, that would be to their own destruction. We look at the word and we read the word and we find the truth as it is written in his word. When the Bible says that the earth is going to perish with a great noise and a fervent heat and all the works that are going to be burned up in it, we can't change that. We can't soften that. We can't say that that's going to be at another time. That will happen. That will happen. And so we cannot change what the Scripture says. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And so here's the Apostle Peter. Consider this writing as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, that he's experienced so many things in his life, and he's nearing the end of his life. And he, with earnestness, is writing these words to believers that were scattered abroad and to us even now. He's saying in a sense, the summation of it all is, ye therefore, beloved, we know these things before. The earth is going to pass away. The earth is, and it's because of ungodly men. God is going to destroy that because of those who were given a free will and they would not serve God. God is going to destroy this world. And so he's saying, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We're bombarded. We're bombarded by the ways of this world. You can't log on, or you can't go on the internet, you can't watch anything, you can't read anything without this perpetual insistence that there is no God, there's atheism, there's narcissism, and all these things. And he's just saying, so he's saying, beware lest ye being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. We are to be steadfast in the Word, because it's the Word of God that saves us. It's the Word of God that gives us truth. It's the Word of God that gives us the comfort and direction in this life. The Word of God here is where our steadfastness needs to be in. That we believe it. If it's written, we believe it. We believe it. There's no, it's not to be challenged. If it's written in God's Word, we believe it. And we are not to be led away from our steadfastness in that. And so then again he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. To him be that glory, because he has given unto us, Jesus Christ, he has given unto us life, in that he suffered upon a cross, in that he took upon himself flesh and blood, in that he rose from the dead, and in that he ascended, and in that he intercedes for us continuously. Glory be unto Jesus Christ for all that he has done for us. And we are to grow in that. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and in what he has done for us. And that as we would experience scoffers, just as Jesus experienced scoffers, that we would be grounded and settled in the truth, and that we would not be moved from our steadfastness. May God give unto us, each and every one of us, diligence to be faithful to him, that when he comes with that great noise and fervent heat, that we might be ready. Amen.
Certainly we are blessed this day for God's grace. If we analyze what's being said, what's being prayed for, believing it from heart and from feeling that there is a reason for that. The songs fit very well. The previous song, I'd just like to compare some, the third verse, we didn't sing it, but the third verse. Tied us together as to our faith, our journey to that place, eternity. Where it says this way, though the shore to which we journey, only through the word is known. So when we talk about eternal life, when we're about Jesus sitting on the throne, we have not experienced yet, but we will, we know. Only through the word is known. Yet our hopes shall not prove empty if we trust this word alone. Knowingly that we rest in Christ his own. The faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. But it will be time that we will come to a point to see things as they are, not as through the glass. No more faith that will cease. We will see things as they are. And that matters as to what our life is here now. We do know that life's passing by quickly. Some of us might not have too much time left. Many of you probably will. Nevertheless, it will be gone before you know it. And the words we heard this afternoon and this morning and at the end, also we can apply this yet as conclusion to remember. Even though we said we read that the before God there is 1 year, is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. Book of Revelation tells us this way, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It's verse 7. Also verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. To give every man according to his works will be, shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He will come soon. May we with joy and humility wait for his coming, being part of his kingdom, passing through the conversion, making covenant, serving him. It will be well with us and with our soul. May God bless his word. Amen.